Now, as we begin the 19th chapter, we see that in this chapter, the lot of the other six tribes is described, as well as the particular lot that was given to Joshua himself. And beginning in verse 1 and going through the 9th verse, we have the story of the lot given to the tribe of Simeon. Simeon's lot was drawn after Judah's, Joseph's, and Benjamin's, because Jacob had put that tribe under disgrace when he gave the blessings out in Genesis 49. And it was because of Simeon's part in the slaughter that took place at Shechem that this tribe remained under disgrace. We read in Genesis 49, beginning with the 5th verse, "Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, and unto their assembly mine honor be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel." So he says that he is going to divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel, and we see that that's going to happen as they are given their lot. But even with this sort of a curse given to them, they were given their lot before the two younger sons of Leah and the three sons of the handmaids. We do not know of one person that was of note. No judge, no prophet was of this tribe, and it's probably because of this position that they had earned for themselves in their part with this destruction of the Shechemites. In verse 1 he says, "And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah." So we see that this tribe does not have any boundaries described when we talk about their lot. Only the cities are named that are within the lot. And the reason for that is because their lot was found to be within the lot that was given to Judah. Now you remember Judah was given their territory first, and it seems that whenever this land was first surveyed, that it was thought to be larger than it actually was. And so they may very well have thought that each tribe could have had a portion as large as the one they gave to Judah. But when it was later discovered that there was not going to be enough land to give everyone a portion that large, then we find that Judah was asked to let Simeon have a part of their lot. For he says in the 9th verse, "Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them." So the territory that had been given to Judah was really too much for them. That it was more than they really should have had, and maybe more than they could really have occupied successfully. So God did not take it away from them, but he left it to their prudence and to their reasoning ability to discover and to rectify the mistake. And they did this by, first of all, not opposing the taking away of the cities again, which had been first given to them, and letting the people of Simeon occupy these cities. So we see here the rule in action that the abundance of one should be used to supply the want of others, and so that there may be somewhat of an equality. And this same rule applies to us in the New Testament today, as we read about the collection taken for the poor saints in Jerusalem in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. We'd also like to note that which was taken off from Judah to be put into the new lot of Simeon fulfills the prophecy of Jacob concerning this tribe when he said, "I will divide them in Jacob." The cities of Simeon were scattered in Judah, and they were surrounded by the territory of Judah. Now this fact brought them into a confederacy with the tribe of Judah, according to Judges 1 and 3, And afterwards, many of this tribe did adhere to the house of David at the time of the revolt of the 10 tribes to Jeroboam, according to 2 Chronicles 15 and 9. So they were, although under somewhat of a curse from Jacob, they were located in a good neighborhood, and this seemed to have had a favorable influence upon them. The cities located within their lot are named here. First are named Beersheba and Sheba, and these names seem to refer to the same place. Also, Ziklag, which we read of in David's story. And then we further read in 1 Chronicles 4, beginning with the 39th verse, what course of action these people took to enlarge their borders and to make room for themselves. So we have the story of the inheritance assigned to Simeon and his tribe. In verses 10 through 16 of this 19th chapter of Joshua, we have the lot of Zebulun. Now, Zebulun was born of Leah, born after Issachar, yet he was blessed by Jacob and Moses before Issachar. Therefore, it was ordered that his lot would be drawn before that of Issachar, and his lot did lay north of that of Issachar and south of Asher. As we look at the boundaries of this lot, we find that the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, was on the west, and the Sea of Galilee was on the east. And this seemed to go along with Jacob's prophecy given in Genesis 49:13, in which he gave the blessing to Zebulun by saying, "Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon." And so, trading ships on the Great Sea and fishing ships on the Sea of Galilee were a part of this inheritance of Zebulun. And there are several places within the borders of this tribe that were made famous in the Old Testament, especially Mount Carmel, on which the famous trial was had between God and Baal in Elijah's time. And perhaps the most famous of all places in Zebulun is the New Testament account of Nazareth, where our blessed Savior spent so much of his time on earth, and from which he was called Jesus of Nazareth. And also Mount Tabor was in the borders of this tribe, on which our Savior was transfigured. And then, of course, there was that coast of the Sea of Galilee, on which Christ preached so many sermons and worked so many miracles. And as we study the Bible, we have some very fond memories of these places that are found within the lot of Zebulun. In verses 17 through 23, we have the lot of Issachar described. This lot of Issachar ran from Jordan in the east to the Great Sea in the west. Manasseh was on the south, and Zebulun was on the north. It was a very numerous tribe. In Numbers 26:25, we are told that there were 63,000 people. Tola was one of the judges, and he came from this tribe, as we find in Judges 10 and 1. And also Baasha, one of the kings of Israel, 1 Kings 15:27, also was of this tribe. Now the most considerable places in this tribe were, one, Jezreel, in which was Ahab's palace, and near it was Naboth's vineyard. Shunem, where the good Shunammite lived, that entertained Elisha. Also, the river Kishon ran through this tribe, on the banks of which Sisera was beaten by Deborah and Barak. The mountains of Gilboa, on which Saul and Jonathan were slain, which were not far from Endor, where Saul consulted with the witch. And we also find that the valley of Megiddo is located in this tribe. And this was a very famous place. We also read about this in the book of Revelation. And I'd like to read what is said about Megiddo in Smith's Bible Dictionary. This word Megiddo means a place of troops. It is called Megiddon in Zechariah 12:11. An important town on the southern rim of the plain of Esdraelon, on the frontier line of Issachar and Manasseh, commanding a critical pass from the north. It was first taken by Joshua on entering Canaan, according to Joshua 12:21. It is celebrated in the Song of Deborah in Judges 4, and it seems that the Canaanitic folk were not driven out, as we read in Joshua 17, Judges 1, and 1 Chronicles 7. It seems it was not firmly held until Solomon's time, 1 Kings 9:15. But the chief interest of this Valley of Megiddo centers in Josiah's death, 2 Kings 23:28 and 2 Chronicles 35:22-24. Memorializing the deepest grief, Zechariah 12:11, and it is depicted as the scene of terrible final conflict in Revelation 16:16. In verses 24 through 31, we have the account of the lot of the tribe of Asher. He says in the 24th verse, "And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher according to their families." Now this lot of Asher lay upon the coast of the Great Sea, the coast of the Mediterranean Ocean. And the only famous person that we read of from this tribe of Asher was Anna the prophetess. And she was a constant resident in the temple at the time of our Savior's birth, according to Luke 2:36. We also do not read of many famous places being located in this tribe. Aphek, mentioned in verse 30, was the place near which Ben-Hadad was beaten by Ahab in 1 Kings 20, verse 30. Close adjoining to this tribe were the celebrated seaport towns of Tyre and Sidon, of which we read so much. Tyre is called here that strong city, verse 29. And this is very likely the old city of Tyre, which was built on the continent, rather than the new Tyre built on an island. And it is thought by some of the Bible scholars that these two strongholds, Tyre and Sidon, were the places where many of the people of Canaan fled and took shelter when Joshua invaded them. Verses 32 through 39 give the account of the territory of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali lay the furthest north of all the tribes, bordering on Mount Libanus. The city of Lashem, or Lash, lay on the utmost northern edge of this territory, and therefore when the Danites had made themselves masters of it and called it Dan, then it was known that the length of Canaan extended from north to south and was reckoned as being from Dan to Beersheba. This tribe had Zebulun on the south, Asher on the west, and a place called Judah upon Jordan, probably a city of that name, and this would indicate that it was bordering upon the Jordan River. And this was on the east side. In the lot of this tribe, we find that near the waters of Merom, that Joshua fought and routed Jabin, as is recorded in chapters 11 and 1 of this book. In this tribe also stood the cities of Capernaum and Bethsaida, located on the north end of the Sea of Tiberias, or the Galilean Sea, in which Christ did so many mighty works. And it is thought that the mountain upon which he taught the Sermon on the Mount, that's recorded in Matthew 5 and 1, is also located within the bounds of this tribe. In the 38th verse, he concludes by saying, 19 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Naphtali was a brother of Dan, the son of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid. Although this may seem to be rather dull and unentertaining reading for us as we read about the account of the various territories being distributed to these tribes and names the boundaries and the cities that are located for each one, this no doubt was very important to these people as they settled this land And in years later, as they would have any kind of a border or boundary dispute, they could always go back and see where it's written out here, just like a deed being described as to exactly which territory went where and what the limitations and extent of each tribe should be. So these are really very important things at the time they were written, and in the years following this, when the people were actually living according to the descriptions that are here given to them as their various lots. We're going to conclude at that point for this time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.